This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, this week's Wichita City Council meeting was the second longest in history. I think it went till like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It follows one last week, which was another one of the longest on records. So what's been taking up so much time? They haven't been naming libraries. Trust me, spending was among many topics. With us now to tell us all about it is Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock, another of those Don Quixotes tilting at windmills to prevent spending. Dalton, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, I think last time I was on your show, I was on the other side of the microphone, so it's good not being the host.
That's right. You were guest hosting. That's right. Thank you. Well, it's nice having you. By the way, how's everything with Todd, with my buddy Todd Starnes?
It's going great. Todd is always Todd, but he's been celebrating a lot more.
I'll bet. Is he on the short list for any presidential appointments or cabinet positions? Everybody else seems to be right now.
Hey, let's start that rumor. We're going to start that rumor right now.
Hey, White House Communications, it would certainly be an upgrade over Karine Jean-Pierre.
You heard it here first, John. He's being considered.
I'm all in. I will post that on Twitter. So, Dalton, I got to, you know, this all that, and I read it in the Eagle, and then I started seeing some other stories about the spending at the city council, including, you know, $500,000 for a couple of porta potties or temporary rest, you know, these outdoor restrooms in the parks that were valued, that I guess the cost is $100,000, but they're with a bottom for $350,000 or something like that. And I'm just sitting here thinking, the city of Wichita is facing a budget shortfall. Last time I checked, it was like $5 million. What? I'm sorry. I know you and Lily aren't behind this. What the heck is going on?
I think you're asking the same questions I'm asking, and I haven't had the chance to tell you this yet, but our next meeting, we actually don't have one this upcoming Tuesday, but November 19th, they're actually coming to ask for more money because we have an overbid estimate for the two porta potties that we spent $500,000 on. So they're actually coming back to ask for more money on the 19th because we didn't spend enough yet.
For those of you who aren't familiar, this is a couple of portable restrooms that they're going to put in at the parks. And I mean, I've heard the stories that they're worried about, you know, permanent restroom facilities at these parks because they can be vandalized or people could have sex in them or whatever. So they've come up with this really cool idea of these semi-permanent porta potties. But the retail cost on them was X and we're paying 3X. It's like the military buying, you know, $700 hammers. I just don't understand. And again, what this comes down to for me is the city of Wichita is facing a budget shortfall. Why are we even considering it right now?
Well, yes, each of the, we call them the Portland Lose. They're being called the Portland Lose. And I want to tell everybody that I voted against this because this is wild overreach of government over government spending.
So did the mayor, by the way.
Yes. The mayor did, and also J.B. Johnston, who represents Northwest Wichita. So I want to commend both of my colleagues there. Each one of these is 258 $1,000. Do you know what the average home price in Wichita is, John?
I think it's more than that, isn't it? Or less than that. No, it's less than that.
$197,000.
Yeah, yeah.
The average Wichitan is living in a house that is less expensive than what we spent on porta potties.
On a shitter. I mean, ugh.
Well, and they're called Portland Loop for a reason. The city that they're modeled after is Portland. So I did some research about other communities that have these type of facilities. Portland, Seattle, Sacramento, L.A., San Francisco all have these. Do you know what also has the highest public defecation rates in the country?
Let me guess. Those cities. Yeah, I was going to say those same cities. And is that the cities that – The vote people who voted for this, I mean, you know, Brandon Johnson and the rest of the Democrats on the city council, are those the cities that they want to turn Wichita into?
That's a question I tried to ask from the bench, but I did not get an answer to, because I think it's very concerning if we're modeling anything that the city of Wichita is doing after Portland or really any city on the West Coast. And we see the challenges they're facing, especially with the homelessness crisis that we see on the West Coast. And then we're spending half $1 million on two porta potties,
and it's not just the porta potties. But there's been a lot of this stuff. I mean, I know I've brought up the $1.9 or whatever it is $1 million in art at the water treatment facilities. There's other instances like this, but it's just there's a mindset amongst some on the city council that we have to do this or we have to do that or we have to, but the mindset isn't where it needs to be, and I'm grateful that you and the mayor and on occasion JV are willing to recognize when you're facing a budget. It's great to spend that money when you're flush, when you're sitting on lots of extra cash, although when that happens you're supposed to give it back. But right now, and particularly when you're facing a budget shortfall, that's when you have to tighten your belt.
Yeah, it's actually probably worse to spend it when it's flush, because then you create this culture of dependency that people right. are dependent on government to solve their problems. And so that's what happened when the federal government used $70 million of ARPA funding into Wichita. The county got $100,000, and I think they spent it far more wisely. They spent on infrastructure projects. They spent on one-time capital expense projects. The city spent a significant portion of our funds on funding nonprofits. You know what those nonprofits are going to do and what they're going to come back asking for us in a year and a half when these funds run out? More money.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Well, and we're talking with City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. This is what's happened with, for example, the Violence Interrupter Program. This is also what's happened with the 42 firefighters. You know, they were funded through ARPA funding. And now when that money runs out, now you've got permanent positions on payroll that are funded through a federal grant. When the grant runs out, I mean, and I guarantee you, by the way, the mayor did not go down to that city, that employee, and tell her to lay those people off. That's just a bogus accusation on its face. That's bogus. I know you're not going to weigh in on that probably, but I can guarantee you she didn't go down there and do that. That ethics claim is just a joke. But
I trust our ethics committee to find out the truth on that. And when it comes down to the hiring of the 42 firefighters, we need those firefighters. And
yes,
because we need them, those should have been funded from the general budget.
Exactly.
They should not have been funded from one-time grant. They should have been funded from the general budget, because that is the essential function of government, is public safety.
And the previous council set you guys up to fail by funding them the way they did, because now at some point you're going to have to backfill that. And where are you going to pay for that? That's the problem with doing it with the way they did it.
When you look at the Violence Interrupters Program, it could be the best program in the nation. And, you know, maybe it is the best thing to solve violence in our community. They've only been operating for 24 days. I will not support increasing any organization's funding 100%, more than $1.6 million, with only 24 days of efficacy. This is not a vote against the organization. This is a vote against staff that feels comfortable bringing another proposal after 24 days of efficacy and saying you should fund this program more. You do not know what any success program is for just 24 days of a program in operation.
Regardless of how noble the program may be, and it sounds like from everything I've seen, it sounds like it's a good program. It's got noble intentions. It sounds like the limited results we've seen are good. But you're right. Well, it's you can't just continue to fund something without some definitive results.
And I said from the bench, because I believe in the potential of the program, they cannot rely on us because we will fail them. Government will fail them because we will always continue to do that. If it is such a good program, J.B. Johnson actually proposed a good offloading program where, you know, we would give them 90% funding and 70% funding, 60% funding to help them get nonprofit funding for the organization. Because in 2 years from now, when the funding runs out, we cannot fund them because we're going to be facing a budget deficit of more than $3 million. That balloons to $10 million, and then that subsequently balloons to $12 million. We will not have the funds to fund them. And so because I believe in the potential of the program, we have to set them up for success and make sure that they have other funding streams aside from the city government.
Right. Because eventually that money is going to run out because this is not a core function of government. At some point, you're going to have to offload that to the nonprofit or to the private sector, which is where it should be housed. And again, because this is not, I mean, I saw Brandon Johnson talking to the press and saying that it should be funded out of the police department. But that's, again, now you're taking, what, are you going to take cops off the streets in order to do this?
These are the questions that I need to be asked, I think, of my colleagues. And these are also the questions that we have to be adults in the room. And we have to realize that we have a finite number of resources. The general public is not supporting further tax increases. And so we're going to have difficult conversations of how we allocate money in the future. And it has to be on core services of government, which is public safety and infrastructure. Those are the core functions of government. And we have to do those well. And we're not doing those well. And until we do those well, we need to make sure they're fully funded before we fund other projects.
Yep. No, I agree, Dalton. Well, again, much like my previous guest, I've got my two Don Quixotes back to back tonight. And you know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I was telling them how grateful I am to have my city councilman, who is arguably the most conservative and certainly the most fiscally conservative member of the Wichita City Council. Dalton, I'm so grateful to have you there fighting for us and fighting for conservative fiscal conservatism. If folks want to connect with you, if they have questions, if they want to just reach out to express their support, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Honestly, just visit DaltonGlasscock.com. All my contact information is there. Feel free to reach out, and I'll take that compliment with a badge of honor, John. So thank you.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Talk soon.